This is Wells Tech, a weekly show exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. Your hosts are Sally Draper and Martin Spriggs. Wells Tech is produced by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome back to Wells Tech. This is episode 508, recorded on August 1st, 2017, and we are coming to you live, or semi-live, from Synod Convention in Watertown, Wisconsin, and right beside me, from New Ulm, Minnesota, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Hi, Martin. Happy to be here. What an exciting day.
It is.
Off to a great start of Synod Convention.
This is kind of a tradition. Each convention, we kind of get together and do a live show, so that's kind of fun. We've got the normal menu of things to do for our Synod Convention episode, and that's really just talk to some people.
Yeah.
Talk to people who are presenters, who are delegates, get some of their impressions of what's going on during the week and some of the highlights. And our first guest is Professor Earl Trepto. Welcome, Earl.
Thank you.
Earl, you are the chair of the Coworker Compensation Review Committee. Tell us a little bit about what that means and some of your other responsibilities, convention related or otherwise.
Well, I serve right now as a professor at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. I teach systematic theology, so doctrine on steroids, we like to call it, and Old Testament, and have served there for a year and a half. Before that, I was for 13 years in Denver. Had the privilege of serving 5.5 years as president of the Nebraska district before taking a call to the seminary. So it's really in conjunction with my time on the Synodical Council, where I served before I was elected district president, that I was asked to serve as chairman of the Compensation Review Committee. So since 2008, I have chaired that committee, not realizing at the time what I might be getting myself into when the convention asked to have a review of compensation. It was not what I had bargained for when I first agreed to serve as chairman, but the Lord knows what he's doing.
Sure. So what is the committee? How is it put together and organized? What kind of people serve on it? And really, what's your goal on the committee? What are your responsibilities?
So the committee is a standing committee that serves the Synodical Council, and originally it was made up only of Synodical Council members.
Right.
So I was serving on the Synodical Council, and all of the men on the committee were also. Since that time, I took the call, and I was allowed to continue because we were in the midst of a revision of the compensation guidelines. Another man who had been serving as the Michigan District representative, lay representative, he also has stepped off of it, but he remains on the committee. So what we have is five who are voting members, and then we also have our Director of Human Resources, Dennis Maurer, serves on it, and then Todd Pope, our CFO. And then we brought in others, including Martin, to bail us out and make us look good with a compensation calculator, which we'll get to eventually.
Sure, right.
Excellent. So a long time coming, and you did a big presentation today for Synod Convention. Tell us about some of the changes related to compensation and what the recommendations are.
Yeah, so in some ways we would say we're just repackaging what has been in place since 2003. When the 2015 convention said there were issues that needed to be revisited, we discovered that all of the items they were concerned about really were addressed in the guidelines. It's just they hadn't been applied or implemented very well. So we decided the best thing we can do is to assist with implementation and application rather than blowing the thing up and starting all over. So what we've done is repackage, and we have made some changes. There are four things that we specifically have changed, and we asked the convention to look at those changes in particular. Two of them have to do with the explosion of early childhood ministry in our midst. We did not have in the previous guidelines any recommendations regarding what compensation should be given to those who serve in those kind of roles, like ECM director or teacher or aide. So we added two columns to the matrix and said, this is what you ought to be thinking about paying those who serve as aides who do not have a bachelor's degree. We also said, here's what you ought to be thinking about providing for compensation for those who serve as directors. So that's kind of the first two changes. The third one is that we asked the convention to think about having principals receive the same compensation, be in the same range of compensation as pastors. We understand that pastors have four more years of education, which seems way more when
right,
you're going
when
through
you're
those
in
years.
It.
But we believe that principals are asked to do so much today, way more than a previous generation, that we want to show honor to that position by the compensation we provide. None of them, no pastor, no principal, does this for the money. But let's show honor to those who serve in our name and are Christ servants by the compensation that we provide. Mm-hmm. So that would be another change that we are suggesting.
How did you go about kind of deciding on some of these things? Did you kind of reach out and do some interviews, you know, took the pulse of, you know, what's going on out there? Is it just inside the committee? What kind of fed that decision-making process?
Yeah, that's really a helpful question. So it really began with the ad hoc commission, which had been appointed by the 2013 Synod Convention, that did a whole bunch of interviewing and sought out opinions from all over the Synod. And some of the ideas that came back to them were compensation related. Mm-hmm. They grouped them into one thing, handed it off to one member of their committee and said, you kind of take the lead, chase after this. They then presented the report and we went from there. So we had heard a whole bunch of comments from them. Then we had done our initial work and we had been instructed bring a proposal to the districts in convention in 2016. Right. And so that's what we did. We brought it and we heard their feedback. And one of the items that we suggested was a bomb to end all bombs. They had wanted nothing to do with that recommendation. And even though I'm stubborn and wanted to say, we're going to do it anyway, everybody else on the committee said, no, we're not doing that. And we'd remove that. Otherwise, what we heard from the districts in convention was, we like the direction in which you're going. Maybe you could tweak this, maybe you could tweak that. So we really felt we had gotten a lot of grassroots.
Yeah,
I'm
mm-hmm.
mixing them together. We had gotten a lot of feedback that way, and then we just kind of reflected on it. We passed it by the Synodical Council, we passed it by the Conference of Presidents on more than one occasion, got their feedback, And while nobody is maybe completely in agreement with absolutely everything, there is general agreement that this is a good direction in which to go.
Right.
Excellent. Well, it wouldn't be a tech podcast if we didn't talk a little tech in
all
the
right.
mix. So I understand that you're demoing a new compensation calculator. Maybe tell us a little bit about what that'll be like for churches and schools, how they'll use that.
Yeah, it is the thing that really sells the whole thing. So Martin just did extraordinary work. Don't let the head get too big, but just extraordinary work. And he was patient with our committee. We kept making suggestions. He had to keep on implementing them. And,
yep.
and it's just so simple. It'll be easily accessible. You don't have to have a password to get to it. Anybody can access it. And so we think that it's going to be helpful for congregations in the budgeting process. So they're looking and saying, okay, we've got these positions, and here's what we're asking of those workers. And they'll work their way through it, and they'll see, okay, here's what it's going to cost for health insurance. Here's what it's going to cost for housing allowance. Here's what we ought to be thinking about by way of salary. And they're going to have the whole list in front of them, and that's going to help them as they plan their
right.
ministry.
Excellent.
We think it's also going to be useful that called workers may kind of recognize, wow, I kind of get more than just the dollars that show up on my check. You know, that housing allowance, which for some will be on their check, but a house that is provided for others, the health insurance that they're provided, the long-term disability, you know, accidental death and dismemberment, all these things that kind of are behind the scenes, we think it's going to be eye-opening to them to realize what kind of support they're receiving from the congregation.
Right.
So we just think it's going to be a really valuable tool that anybody gets on it is going to be able to drive it. I mean, I demonstrated it to prove. You don't have to be a chief technology
anybody
officer.
Can do it.
Anybody,
right.
absolutely anybody right. can do it.
And no big tables of numbers and things to
right,
do.
Right,
no complicated spreadsheets. Yeah, we did try to make it as simple as possible. It was a pleasure, you know, working with the group, and hopefully it's a useful ministry tool. So when we talk about call workers, I know in the past, somebody would look at the salary matrix and they say, well, that's just for Synod employees. But this, your scope is broader than that, and I think that comes out in the calculator, too, with suggestions and different ways to kind of think about compensation, giving ranges, those kinds of things. Talk a little bit about kind of the scope of this thing.
We recognize that while this is, in a sense, binding on corporate
right.
Synod, that it is used regularly by others,
right.
and we're thankful for that, and we want that, and we know that they're going to be contacting Dennis Maurer, our Director of Human Resources, and so he's got something he can point them to and say, look, go use that, it's available there
right.
for you to to make use of. So it's just going to be really, I think, a valuable tool as they take advantage of it.
And as you mentioned, open to anyone. So call workers could come in there. Financial secretaries, you know, whoever you know wants to use it can use it. When will it be available, and how do you get at it?
Yeah, so it is already available. We're going to continue to kind of post it, keep feeding Martin things to change and improve, and he'll do as he always does and implement those things. So it's on the Human Resources site, or if you want to just go to wells.net/CWCompCalc, called Worker Compensation Calculator, you'd be able to access it there.
And it'll as improvements are made, they'll be immediately available, and you get to take advantage of those. So we'll see how it goes. This first year or two will be interesting, and then I'm assuming we'll kind of rev it and figure out how to make it even better.
And there are just so many helpful things that are on there, the question marks that say, if you've got issues here,
a good FAQ on there as well.
And you can go and click on the salary matrix. It's embedded there. You can see it. So are the guidelines available in written form if you want to expose yourself to that kind of agony to read through that. It's there.
Good. Thank you for your time, Earl, and the presentation today. Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
It was gracious of Earl to spend a little time with us. He's a busy guy. And exciting presentation. I think there was a little buzz during the time that he was presenting, and a lot of people looking forward to what they've done.
So make sure you check out the show notes, because we'll have that link in the show notes on wellstech.wells.net.
Yep. But that's not all for the special guests that we've got.
Oh, no. We've got another special guest to join us. It's Dr. Jeff Wickman. He is the Vice President for Academics at Martin Luther College, and he has a special role. It's in a convention. He is the chair of the Elections Committee, and I wrote down here, a.k.a. frequent podium speaker.
Yeah.
Lucky guy.
Getting your steps in today, Jeff.
Plenty of steps. Plenty of steps, yeah.
So maybe you can get started. Tell us a little bit about yourself and where you serve and that kind of thing.
As you said, I'm the Vice President for Academics at Martin Luther College. That's my third role at MLC. I just finished my ninth year there. I was also a student teaching supervisor, and I worked a year in the dean's office. Loved my ministry there. I also served as a Area Lutheran High School principal at Shoreland Lutheran in Kenosha for 8 years, and I was a grade school teacher and principal in Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay, you've been around quite a while. But this is your first Synod convention,
my
correct?
My second Synod convention.
Okay.
First bit as a chairman.
Okay. What are your impressions so far?
I love it. I love opening worship last night. It was phenomenal. The devotions, the paper by Professor Brenner today, and just, you know, people, you know, I'm hearing people at the microphone saying where they're from and how far they've traveled, and just get that idea of oneness of faith that, you know, moving together, walking together in the decisions that we make. It's an exciting time.
It's neat. It's too bad that not all members of the Synod could experience this and kind of see the, you know, the ministry that's going on at this level.
You need to tune into your live stream.
Yep, that's right.
There you go.
It's a special few days.
Yeah.
There you go. If they were watching live stream, we joked a little, but they would have seen you on camera today. You were up at the podium a lot. Maybe tell us a little bit about how that election process works and what brought you to the podium.
Right. So, well, first I found out I was a delegate, and then President Schrader sent me an email, and the subject of his email was floor committee chairman, which made me panic a little bit. And then I opened that up and saw that he was asking about this committee, and I was happy to serve in that way. But there were two offices in the Synod Presidium, the officers that were being elected this year, the first vice president and the secretary. So we take nominations from the floor of the from the delegates, and then we conduct our elections. The majority rules there. Those went smoothly today. And then prior to the conference, the convention, delegates were nominated for a number of boards and committees and positions. They agreed to run, and then we just now conducted our election of all those boards and committees. So we need to do a few runoffs tomorrow, but that'll take care of itself in the morning.
Right.
Awesome.
So you've got responsibilities here, but you also have a day job, you know, over at New Ulm at Martin Luther College, VP of Academics. Tell us a little bit about that. A lot of the people here have those ministry positions. You have one at our worker training school. What's a day in your life like there?
My email account would tell me it's a hectic day, and that it's not good to be away from my office
right
now. Of course, school's gearing up, so we have a lot of things that are being planned. But the typical day, maybe a job description would be that I have oversight of all things academic. So it's supervision of instruction of all the professors, professional development for the professors, organizing and helping to conduct the plenary faculty meetings, overseeing the two deans of the college, certainly one side being the pre-seminary studies and the other side being teaching the staff ministry tracks at the college.
So, right.
We're looking at curriculum, we're trying to make ourselves better as professors, we want our programs to be the best they can be, and we need our college to be accredited, and so that's an effort that I oversee as well as a part of my office.
So what we do on the synod level does inform your work, right? It guides and directs what MLC is and does, right?
We are the Wells College of Ministry. Mm-hmm. To be honest, we don't move without the synod's say-so, and that's a good thing, because we don't want to be off doing whatever we think is best. We take our cue from synod conventions like this.
Right.
In the past, conventions have asked Martin Luther College to carry on or start up certain ministries, new ministries, and then we take them at their word, and we do what they ask us as we see as best we can.
Right.
Excellent. Well, again, we wouldn't be a tech podcast if we didn't ask you a little technology in the mix. Tell us a little bit about what's going on at MLC with technology. Any exciting advances for your faculty and students?
You know, two things come to mind there for me, and one is that I think we've got a core of people in our IT office now who are doing everything they can to solidify the infrastructure of the college so that we're ready to do bigger and better things. So why stronger Wi-Fi throughout the campus, stronger internet connection throughout the campus, Surface Pros for all faculty members, those kinds of things help us to be ready to take the next steps. But the second thing I think of are the people that we have in place, certainly those in the IT office, but the professors that we've called now. I'm going to drop some names here, like a James Karlofsky, who is just a wizard in the use of instructional technology, and he shares his wizardry with the faculty. Rachel Feld is a newly called gal, and I'm certain she's been on some of your casts before, right? We're very excited to have her on campus. She'll be the director of academic computing, which serves the faculty. She's also the director of online learning, and her teaching load will include the teaching with technology course that we offer to all of our education and staff ministry candidates. So,
Excellent. So
it's that strong and growing stronger infrastructure, and that's the people we have to utilize it.
Okay. You mentioned at the online piece, professional growth and more students coming online than ever before. In fact, Pastor Prangy mentioned it in his little presentation today, that you have more online students than those on campus. How has that changed your work and your job?
I'm very thankful for the man in the office next to me. His name is Dr. John Meyer. John is the Director of Graduate Studies and Continuing Education, and he is a tireless worker for the graduate programs that we have. We have two master's programs at MLC, and then we're working on a third. There's ideas about a fourth. But the numbers you're talking about are those continuing ed students,
right?
The ones that take the little one-credit workshops or whatever it is. It might be online, but it also might be at a satellite location. We'll set up in Appleton or Milwaukee or wherever we get a request.
Right, right.
We send people out to grow, and that's where our numbers reach over 1,000 teachers and pastors that are being touched with professional development and continuing education opportunities synod-wide.
Extending the reach, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, we certainly appreciate you taking time out of your busy day, and hope you get to rest a little tonight.
This has been a great rest.
Yeah.
I've been running up and down and stuff.
Yeah,
so this
for
is
sure.
Super.
All right, back to work.
Got it. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Wow, we know how to pick them. We're two for two so far. Jeff was a great interview, and just exciting work that's going on here at convention and at MLC.
It's interesting. You talk to a lot of different people at convention. They all kind of have a story.
Definitely.
They all have a place, in ministry, whether they're, a call worker, or a lay person who's, working hard and toiling in a congregation. They all have a story, and I think to a person, they have kind of the same story or the same feeling about this convention, is that it's a neat place to be, and there's just ministry going on here.
Yeah,
so.
Just an incredible experience for sure.
While Jeff had a lot of stuff on his plate, there is another guy that we're going to interview here who has maybe even more, and that is Lee Hitter, our communications director. Work side by side with him at CMM. Thanks, Lee, for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Have we ever had you on before?
When I first started,
okay.
5 years ago.
All right.
Maybe it didn't go well. I wasn't invited back. But,
I wanted to ask you a little bit about that because, I mean, you've been to, what, two or three conventions now?
This is my third,
Third convention. Yeah. Can you maybe think back to your first one? Or your, you know, you were a layman and you worked in the broadcast business, but in, and probably, you know, had a lot of chances for ministry in your congregation, but coming to a convention probably for the first time, right?
Yeah.
What were your impressions then?
First of all, fantastic, you know, that opening worship service.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
Right.
Yeah.
You're there. We're at the chapel at Martin Luther College. Fantastic venue. Beautiful music. You sit back and say, wow, this is my job now.
Right.
You know, it was, before it was breaking news coverage, it was severe storm coverage in broadcast television. It was the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
Now it's the gospel. It's sharing all the wonderful stories that our areas of ministry have at a synod convention. Listening to the presenters and all the work that's being done in our mission fields, is just, it's fantastic. And I wasn't exposed to that, even though as a leader within my congregation, you're so focused on that individual church.
Right.
You don't see the synod as a whole and all the things that are being accomplished by God's grace.
That's probably, you know, in your job description, is to help people kind of uncover what you uncovered, right?
Yeah,
how do you do that?
Well, to be on every platform that they're on. So we want to make sure that, first of all, the Wells Connection, we have that video every month. That falls within my department.
Mm-hmm.
We're telling wonderful stories using video. More than 900 of our congregations show that video each month. Ford and Christ Magazine, it's been in publication for over 100 years. So we're in print, we're in the video. Social media obviously has exploded in the last 5 years that I've been there.
Right.
We have more than 55,000 followers now on Facebook. We're posting content to it every day. And then really the warehouse for all content is wells.net. That's where we really put all of our information from all of our different schools, the mission fields. It's all accessible there, and then that drives the mobile app as well.
Sure.
So multiple platforms, you have to go where the people are, where your audience is, and you want to make sure that you're reaching out with the same message, you're consistent with your message on the multiple platforms.
Right.
Excellent. So, Synod Convention is a, it's not even a full week. It's such an event, though, crammed in just a couple of days.
Yeah.
How do you begin to address, you know, what the full scope is and keep on top of everything?
A lot of planning goes into it. We started in March working with all of our administrators, writing the reports for the Book of Reports and Memorials. So we worked on that publication, over 250 pages of everything that's happening in the Synod, and a look ahead for the next 2 years. Then the planning that goes in it. Martin's on our planning committee for the convention. Work with the school that's hosting. Do they have live stream capability? Does the church with the opening worship service have live stream capability? What do we have to supplement the staff at the school with our staffs with technology and communications? It's really a group team effort to pull it off. It's our Super Bowl. It's a chance every 2 years to really showcase all the wonderful things that are going on in Wells, and we want to put our best foot forward and get that information out. You know, in the past, I think we relied on our pastors too much to kind of carry the message of what's happening in Wells, put something in your bulletin, play the Wells Connection. Now we have that direct link using technology with the website, with the mobile app, with social media, to talk to that person directly in the pew as to what's going on in their synod.
Excellent.
For when I was a pastor, I would think of synod convention as this kind of black box, where you this kind of secret gathering that nobody really knew what went on. That's very different now, and I think that's made a difference. As I talk to people across the synod, the average person in the pew, I think they have a different impression of the synod. Do you think so?
Absolutely. And it starts with our president. He wants transparency. He wants the people to know what's going on in their synod so they can be involved in the synod, to be part of the decision-making process. So it really starts with him. But, you know, working within our center of mission and ministry now in our beautiful new facility, we're in a smaller space, so we interact a lot more than we ever did.
Right.
So we have constant communication as to what's going on and all the wonderful stories that that we want to share with our members.
Awesome.
Remind our listeners again how they can stay in touch with what's going on at convention and just in general with Synod News. What's the best way to do that?
Well, it's very simple for the next few weeks. You did, Wells.net, right on the homepage, the banner, it doesn't rotate for the next couple of weeks. It's right. On Synod Convention.
Right.
And the link to go to the live stream is right there. It's a one click to watch the live stream, to watch everything that's going on. Also, we have the direct link to our Synod Convention site. It's 2017 Synod Convention. Mm-hmm. So wells.net/2017 Synod Convention. It has all of the reports that are happening, videos, updates that we're doing every day. Martin's the host with Nicole Balza for my staff. So we're interviewing key presenters the convention.
Yeah.
We're writing together e-newsletter and distributing that every night at the convention. So lots of opportunities to learn and not miss anything that happens during this week.
Thank you for all you do. I think it's seems like a well-oiled machine, at least to the outside looking in, and that's the goal, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That is the goal.
That you're getting, you know, that there is transparency and you're getting what's going on. So that's awesome. Thanks for joining us, Lee.
Thank you.
Well, Sally, that is three for three, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
We're doing good today.
A lot of good stuff going on here, and we could have picked, you know, 10 different other people to talk about their experiences and how they're involved with convention as well. Mm-hmm. So try to bring a little bit of technology in there. There's a lot of technology involved with, you know, something like this, but I thought it's good once in a while just to kind of talk to the people who are really involved and get a sense for what's going on here. Because this is kind of really the heart of our work, too, is ministry and trying to figure out how to spread that gospel.
A little bit of a mountaintop experience. I think we're going to come back down to reality next week, Martin, and have just a regular podcast.
Yep, but we're going to continue our summer series. Ministry Resources is our focus, and we think that hopefully that's a value and a blessing to those people who turn in. So come back next week, and we will continue our Wells Tech journey, and good to see you.
Yeah, nice to be here.